I'm Anthony Bachman from All Things Good and Nerdy, a geeky podcast part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other fantastic geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
By the power of Grayskull,
Autobots, transform.
Excelsior!
All right, so guys, welcome to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. Now, I'm your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida, seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. Now, I want to say, be sure to, you know, if you're listening to this and you kind of like the content that you're listening to, head over to Google Play and iTunes after the show. Not now. We want you here. We need your attention. We're undivided attention. And click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from our PopX Collective Archive. We have some pretty awesome stuff, being that this is episode 94 today. And while you're there, we would certainly appreciate you showing us some love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review. Now, if you missed episode 93, Avengers Endgame Review, check our official website at PopXcast.com for this and other great shows from PopX's archive of geeky, delicious, savory goodness. Austin, how are you doing?
Is it working?
Oh, you're good. You're coming in now. Oh, okay. I'm feeling that gelatinous tone in your voice. It just
sends higher quality.
Oh yeah.
More like a man.
Oh, you are. You're rocking it. Listen, you do you, man. You do you. Okay.
I like doing me. It's fun. That was weird. Let's move on.
I have no answer for that, Austin.
How are you doing today?
Just so you know, PopX Cast is an E-rated podcast. Oh, man, that's funny. I don't care who you are.
I'm loopy. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're allowed. It's all that daggone kombucha you've been drinking, Austin Burke.
I'm living the kombucha.
Oh, I'm listening.
We have a kombucha place near our house now. It just opened about 3 miles down the road.
Dude, of course you do.
Like blueberry, lemon, ginger, and strawberry, like basil. It's weird.
Wait, strawberry basil? Strawberry basil kombucha?
Strawberry basil. It's pretty good. I like it.
Wow, that's quite interesting. I want to give a quick shout out right now. We got a host of people joining us in the chat room, including the Blab Mayor and Get Vocal President himself, Mr. Cliff Bodenweiser. We also have our buddy Dre, and we got Sean Hockney joining us, Marissa, Luke, and Brad, and Bobby Shadow. So thank you guys so much. If you like what you hear, be sure to send this out on all of your social media accounts. Just copy that link and send it out on Twitter and Facebook. I don't know, put it in a rocket and send it to NASA on the moon. I don't care what you do, just get it out there, whatever you can do. All right, so
Zach Hoffman hanging out with us on Facebook.
Zach Hoffman. What's up, Zach?
What's up, dude?
The Zach Attack is back. So are you guys ready to get this show kicked off? Because I know I kind of am. I'm kind of excited for tonight's topic. All right. Well, don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. PopX News is coming your way.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
Oh, man, I tell you what. So this is literally right out of the gate today. Breaking news as of about 8 hours ago on this day, May the 14th, 2019, the Walt Disney Company takeover of Hollywood continueth months after completing the purchase of 21st Century Fox, which came as a major stake. And in Hulu, Disney has made a move to acquire the streaming service outright. As of Tuesday morning, Disney completely controls 100% stake in all of Hulu. Hulu, whatever you want to call it. Disney and Comcast announced a new deal on Tuesday, giving Disney full operational control of Hulu going forward. Now, this takes effective immediately. Not next month, not next now. All right? So, though Comcast still owns 33% of the streaming company, they still own 33%. There's some kind of, I think that Disney's probably paying them the subsidiary fees and licensing and royalties. And just like, you know what? We own it. Here's your money. Just do what you want to do with it. So, Austin, what do you think about Disney? Disney is like, is it too much?
Is it a monopoly? I mean, is that what we're coming to? Because listen,
dude, I don't know, man.
This company, and we knew it was coming, and we said this, Joe, both of us, a couple of episodes ago when we were talking about the possibilities. Daredevil and Punisher, they're canceled. Where are they going to go? And we don't know if it's going to be immediately, but if those shows or characters ever return, now it's kind of confirmed to me that it's going to be on Hulu, because Disney Plus is going to be the, not children, because we're getting the Star Wars show, we're getting Winter Soldier and the Falcon. It is going to be more of a PG-13 platform. Hulu, now they're going to have their PG-13 shows, but this is where Marvel and Disney, they get to experiment a bit and do a bit more edgy stuff, right? So you got your Punisher and your Daredevil. If they ever decide to bring
Now, let me ask you, let me stop you right there. I don't want to stop you dead in your train of thought.
Fine.
Is there a possibility we can get Matt Murdock back as Daredevil?
I think there is. I don't want to say for sure because we don't know. And now I have heard, here's what I've heard.
Okay.
I've heard that there is a 2-year deal in place to where they can't do anything with the Netflix characters, aka Charlie Cox as Daredevil. For 2 years. So 2020 is when we'll get our answer, which is next year now. But we will know soon enough. But I do think there's a good chance that Bernthal and Cox, all of those guys, I think they could come back. And do you know that we still have another season of Jessica Jones to go?
We do. They're deeming it as the final season of Jessica Jones.
And I do like that. But it's just, it's so odd to me because I feel like they're gone. And then, oh, Jessica Jones, we don't care.
Let me be honest with you. I think Charlie Cox as Daredevil and Michael Coulter as Luke Cage.
Yes.
I thought those were perfect marriages of actor and character. I couldn't agree. I mean, would I love to see Charlie Cox in the MCU officially at some point? Absolutely. I mean, I was hoping in that, spoiler alert. Well, the spoiler ban's been lifted on Avengers Endgame, so we can talk about it now. Yeah. I was hoping in that finale that they would have, but we got Howard the Duck instead.
We did get Howard the Duck. Hey dude, Howard the Duck.
I mean, I know it's a great one, but how cool it would be to see the Defenders alongside the Avengers in the fight for humanity.
Hey, man, we're talking multiverse today. Maybe that's a topic we can hit on.
I know, maybe.
Seriously.
I know there's a lot of opportunity. All right, go ahead, keep on.
Well, let's move on. Hasbro's Marvel Legends Captain America shield, electronic Thor hammer, Iron Man helmet, Star-Lord helmet, and Infinity Gauntlet fist have all kinds of fancy features, and when the new stock arrives, it doesn't last long. In fact, many of these replicas have been difficult to get at the standard price in recent months, but they're making a big comeback in the wake. Of course they are. Mm. In the wake of Avengers Endgame. Also find the Marvel Legends Black Panther electronic helmet, Ant-Man electronic helmet, and the Avengers Endgame Nano Gauntlet electronic fist that Hasbro unveiled last week. So, in the wake of Endgame, the marketing continues, and we have all of these incredible-looking toys and things. Joe, I know you want to talk. What's going on with these toys, man? These are awesome.
I may have dropped the money this week for the Nano Infinity Gauntlet, which means is a right-handed glove.
Of course you did.
And the other one is a left-handed glove, which means you can hold both in your hand at the same time. Unfortunately, it won't be here when you're here in June, though. Unfortunately.
I know it's in August,
so.
You know, because time travel has now been introduced to us, so any logic has been completely thrown out the window. If you were able to have both gauntlets, both with a set of Infinity Stones, because, you know, time travel, and you fist bump, what would happen?
I think, honestly, it would go back to the...
Or a high five. I mean, whichever you feel like.
I think it would go back to the Big Bang. And we would all be just basically,
just be a big fat reset button.
We would be protozoa floating in a warm water pool somewhere. I think. Oh. Well, I don't know. Lindsay. What would happen if two gauntlets come to collide?
Sit on that one for a minute. That's
awesome. It's unreal to think about.
Joe's gonna have both of them in his house, so we will soon find out.
We're gonna do a live demonstration here on on PopX Cast in August when the Nano Gauntlet finally arrives in my hands and I have the Infinity Gauntlet in one hand, the Nano Gauntlet in the other. Just use your imagination, folks. So
much- Why isn't it going to be there when I'm there? That's my. I'm so disappointed because I just wanted to touch it. You know, I want to hold it.
Well, when you're here, you can touch it as long as you want to, Austin.
Oh, you know I'm going to, man. Come on.
Wait, that.
Boys and our toys.
Lindsay Badger, redeem us, please.
All right. Well, on Saturday, Fox renewed Seth MacFarlane's The Orville for its third season. Today, Fox released its 2019 primetime schedule. The Orville isn't slotted anywhere on it.
Not really.
What? Really?
Okay. Oh, well, it's because it confirmed that Orville will be back in 2020. So don't freak out.
Okay. Seth MacFarlane's probably got a busy work schedule. No.
You know, doing all those live sketches and stuff. this is familiar based on how things progressed between the Orville's first and second seasons. The show debuted in September 2017, and its first season finale, the season finale, aired on December 7th, 2017. And the show did not return for its second season until more than a full year later, on December 30th, 2018.
Hmm.
Considering the amount of fidelity in the visual effects on the show, it makes sense that it takes extra time in pre- and post-production. Well, at least they're taking the time to do it right and not being like all corny, cheesy about it.
You know the reason why Seth MacFarlane decided to do like a comedic knockoff to Star Trek? Do you know the story behind that? His father, when he was a kid, growing up, introduced him to Star Trek. And immediately Seth MacFarlane and his father, that was their thing together, was Star Trek.
Nice.
And much like Jim Carrey's father would show, they would go through the 007 series many times.
Oh, yeah.
And also Mike Myers, his father would take him through James Bond 007. And guess what happened? Mike Myers, Austin Powers...
Hours.
Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
So, like that, following in the footsteps of comedic lore, Seth MacFarlane, Star Trek to the Orville. So there you go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty cool when you think about it. So, moving along here with the news, Avengers Endgame once again tops the box office in North America, despite Pokemon Detective Pikachu outselling Endgame on Friday. Endgame will be number one at the box office for its third weekend straight at $62 million, pushing its domestic box office total over the $700 million mark to $723. And now, that matches the 16-day record set by Star Wars The Force Awakens in 2015. Also, Avengers Endgame is currently at $2.5 billion worldwide. That is just $300,000 shy of demolishing James Cameron's Avatar.
So,
Austin, what do you think about that? Do you think Endgame can keep the momentum to knock off Avatar?
It's going to be harder than people think. And here's why I say that. Because The Force Awakens came out at a time where it had no competition. Avatar came out at a time where it had no competition. Endgame has... John Wick, Aladdin, Pikachu, as we've already seen, and just movie after movie after movie. I think it's going to get really close. I think it's going to be a lot closer than a lot of people think.
Spider-Man.
Which is its own competition.
Well, can we stop and say X-Men Dark Phoenix?
That's another
superhero. That's in just a few weeks.
That's the market.
That's 2 weeks from now. Yeah.
So I think it's going to do it.
Okay.
I
don't think it's going to beat... The Force Awakens domestic record, which is above $900 million. I don't think it's going to do that because domestically it has slowed down to where I don't think it's going to quite reach that because of the competition. But I do think it's going to topple Avatar as the number one movie of all time. But I do think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. So.
Wow.
Well, and Sean said in the chat, Godzilla is also going to be there too, but it's not pulling the superhero
that is
crowd,
another
but
one.
It is going to be pulling... You know,
but it's got Billy Bobby Brown in it, and Billy Bobby Brown is also going to be launching in July the 5th, for Stranger Things Season 3, which we will definitely be doing a season review on that, because we've been consistent with our Stranger Things reviews. Yeah, well, I get Stranger Things done in a weekend, probably in a day.
Let's
do it.
Let's go.
But 2.5 billion as of today worldwide for Avengers. That is insane. It is insane. So moving along with the news, Austin Burke.
Well, there's no denying that movie, and there's also no denying that the late Stan Lee had a profound impact on the majority of comic book characters that continue their stories within the pages of various Marvel comics today. In the wake of his passing last November, fans have started campaigning online in an attempt to get the city of New York, this is awesome, of New York to commission a memorial statue for the late comic publisher. A group of dedicated fans have started a change.org petition in hopes of getting the attention of some of the city's movers and shakers. Guys, what do you think of this? This is awesome.
Well,
let me
see if I can get my ticket for LaGuardia. Hold on. Yes, as someone who is a fan of Stan Lee, come on. I mean, it's a heartbreak, but also it's a wonderful way to memorialize someone who we got to be a small part of. That as a collective body of geeks and nerds and comic enthusiasts. We got to be a part of this amazing generational, because I wrote about that on popxcast.com when Avengers Endgame came out. There's that one moment in every generation that it's a snowball effect and everybody just gets around it. You know, in the 60s, it was Woodstock. In the 90s and stuff like that, it was Star Wars. In the 70s and 80s, it was George Lucas. Well, yes. Stan Lee created this back in the 60s, and then, you know, now with CGI and technology the way it is, these characters can finally get the just that they need on the screen. And 22 films, 11 years, Kevin Feige, freaking brilliant. Come on. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby single-handedly created an empire. And that is why Stan Lee will live forever. Drop the mic.
Statue or not.
Statue or not. He don't need a statue. He's in every film he's ever made. Even in Endgame. That's something cool to think about, though. You know, we were all part of that. It's like, I can look back when I'm an old man and be like, look back, you know, 70-year-old Joe, you know, going around on my cane in the nursing room. I was there when Avengers Endgame came out. I was $3 billion at the box office. Hurry, cricky. You know? Yeah. So.
And it's something that's never going to happen again. This will never happen again. No, Coleman, this is a one-time thing. Everyone who was here that were a part of it, that played their part in the theater, guys, hats off to everybody, man. Yeah. $3 billion almost. It's crazy.
And let's tag on that before Lindsay pushes into her next topic. Sean brought up something really cool. Talk really, really quickly about the new Star Wars trilogy.
Ooh.
So we saw that Disney in their recent, D23 or something like that, that they had out in California, they launched out, they gave release dates through 2027, not only of Marvel movies, but of Star Wars films coming out, and the new trilogy after the number 9, which comes out this December. Austin, what are your thoughts about the new trilogy? They're going with the Dark Empire, or do we have any clues on that? Or,
well, we know it's coming from the creators, the showrunners of Game of Thrones, Benioff and Weiss.
Okay,
so
there's potential.
The news is coming out at a time when Game of Thrones is very divisive right now because of this final season, but It's very touchy. But here's what I love about these guys is, you know, Game of Thrones, they're dealing with characters that people have loved and have held on to and have had books to relate to. This new Star Wars trilogy, I think, is going to be a brand new thing. So they get to create these characters from scratch. So people aren't going in with this, oh, they have to do this with this character, I'm going to be ticked off. They get to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And cinematically and from a storytelling standpoint, and great point
Republic.
By Sean in the chat, the Old Republic, and that's where I hope they pull from, just kind of doing their own thing. I think that would be awesome because they are cinematic directors. They've changed television, so I think that their transition to movies is going to be no different.
I think it'll be great because the Skywalker saga will be completed. 9 films. I think it's 40 years. I think it's done.
The
characters are done. So, yes. Lindsay Badger, take us through to the next one, my dear.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to bring the mood down.
Okay.
We've had some deaths this week.
We have had some deaths.
Well, the last couple of weeks, I suppose. All right. So, sad news. We have 3 deaths to discuss today. It's so sad. On Saturday, Mod Squad and Twin Peaks cast member Peggy Lipton passed away at age 72 from colon cancer. She was diagnosed back in 2004, so she had a really long fight.
Bless her heart.
Come on, hold your lights up.
She can rest.
Hold your lights up, guys. This is Hollywood royalty right here.
Just this last Monday, legendary actress Doris Day passed away at 97. What a
Doris Day. Jeez.
97 years old. That's awesome. And then today, the Carol Burnett Show film star and vintage comedy man, Tim Conway, passed away at age 85. He was dealing with complications from normal pressure hydrophalus. Joe, help me out here with this. I'm not a doctor.
Oh, gosh, Lindsay.
Or do I play one on TV?
It's hydrocephalus syndrome, which is basically abnormal buildup fluid in the brain, ventricles.
There we go. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he was best noted for his home movie series, Dorf Goes Fishing and Dorf Goes Golfing.
And he was Barnacle Boy in SpongeBob.
He was Barnacle Boy.
Forget that.
So say a little prayer for those families tonight. They're going through a tough time, but I mean, Doris Day.
Long lives, man.
Tim Conway, awesome. Man. That's great. I mean, the Carol Burnett Show, when I was a kid growing up, I remember watching the Carol Burnett Show as a four-year-old. It was great, dude. Some of the best sketch comedy. Benny Hill, Carol Burnett, watched all those guys, man. It's crazy. Dang. All right, so we are finishing up with the final headline of the week, and then we're going to get into the Marvel Multiverse predictions. In case you didn't know, yesterday, May the 13th, was officially X-Men Day, which 20th Century Fox has declared as a day of celebrating your favorite mutant heroes. Now, according to the CBR comic book review, the day has been set aside as a quote-unquote celebration of culmination of the X-Men saga, end quote. Now, while Marvel's X-Men characters are some of the oldest in the company's history, it seems Fox's specifications on the franchise appeal for nearly 20 years in the cinematic industry, and it indicates the focus is on the film series here, specifically. Now, the X-Men were introduced to comic readers in September 1963. Creators Mr. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, the kings of comics, developed the team as a vehicle for delivering the messages of tolerance and acceptance of others during the civil rights movement of the 1960s, according to the comic history. Now, comment on this story, fans. I want to know film buffs and actors associated with the franchise, including Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds. They all got on board of this week, and they shared their experiences, thoughts, and emotions with their favorite characters, the characters they portrayed as well, and art and gratitude towards the X-Men. Now, X-Men Dark Phoenix launches in theaters worldwide on June the 7th and will be the culmination of 20 years of Fox's X-Men franchise, as Disney now officially owns the rights to the Marvel property once again. So, are you excited for Dark Phoenix, Austin?
I am more excited than I was because I actually didn't mind the last few trailers. I'm still at that point to where we know it's coming to an end. It's the final movie. So is it going to leave us like, oh, that's great? Or is it going to leave us kind of stale on the entire thing? The movie has me very worried just because of what I heard about it before the reshoots, but they did reshoots. Disney is doing everything they can to make this movie good because it's in their hands now. And this is their property, even though it is the last remnants of what Fox used to be. So I'm looking forward to it more than I was, but I'm still to the point to where I hope I'm surprised. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think that much like how the Avengers Endgame was a culmination of 11 years, 22 films, this is a culmination of 20 years of X-Men movies with Fox. And, you know, this is Fox's way of sending off those characters and those beloved characters that we've known. Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and the list goes on. And Sir Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier. I mean, Ian McKellen as Magneto. I mean, come on, the hits keep coming. Yeah. And so Michael Fassbender, it's just, I can just keep going on and on.
Yeah.
But a lot of talent. And I think the acting, the sheer talent in the franchise is one of the things that carried the franchise for me specifically.
Yes.
I think if they hadn't got these seasoned actors in there, I mean, come on, Hugh Jackman, Greatest Showman. I mean, you guys, come on. It's insane. While we're on the topic of X-Men, this is not in the notes. Let's talk about the New Mutants being pushed back to 2020. Now, me and Austin predicted it.
You did. You straight up said that.
We did this 3 episodes ago, Austin. We was like, wait, they're going to push it back again, and it's going to release on Hulu. What happened today?
Said, there's no way this movie comes out this year. And guess what? The movie's
not coming out this year.
If we see this thing, they just announced the Hulu deal, it's going to be on Hulu. There's no way they're putting this out.
Disney rebrands Hulu with the Disney Corporation, they do that, they're going to be launching New Mutants with that.
Yes, I agree.
Because it's a dark movie. It doesn't fit the Disney Plus thing. Mm-hmm. And so there you go. That's my prediction. I think it's going to Hulu. You wait and watch. They're on back. Let's not put all this time and effort in marketing. What's marketing anyway?
And that's the thing. If the movie's that bad, they can just suddenly drop it on Hulu. Why not say anything else about it? Okay, guys, we're done. No, what's next? You know what I mean?
All of a sudden, you're watching House of Wax, Paris Hilton, and you're vomiting your head off.
Goodness, what just happened here?
No, it's actually a movie. Paris Hilton was in a movie called House of Wax, and it was the most horrid thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, that's
an hour and a half of my life I'll never get back, let me tell you. All right, guys, it is 9:30. We officially reached the halfway point here of PopX Cast number 94, and we're going to get ready and transition into the topic of the show, which is the MCU multiverse discussion and predictions. Now, Austin, I'm going to give you the reins on this. You got us through this conversation. How's this going to go down, my friend?
All right, so here's what we're going to do today to start this thing off. So we recently got a Spider-Man Far From Home trailer where it dropped many a hints about the multiverse potential in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So today what I'm going to do, I'm going to drop 4 scenarios on you guys. We're going to move through each of them, starting with scenario 1. And we're just going to discuss the possibilities because all 4 of these could happen in a way.
Okay.
But then all 4 of them could be completely outside of the realm of possibility. And I think each one is going to provide for some really good discussion. And if we have time at the end, I want to do most anticipated movies, maybe not movies that have been announced yet, but potential movies in the new MCU. By the way, spoilers for Avengers Endgame. Don't watch this if you haven't watched the movie yet. So we're going to dive really deep.
Do you want me to roll the spoiler alert warning just to be safe?
Roll that spoiler.
All right, I'll be right back in 5 seconds.
Spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
All right, Burke.
All right.
Here we go.
Marvel Cinematic Universe multiverse discussion. Like I said, we got a new Spider-Man trailer, and in that trailer, there was a specific line dropped where it discussed the possibility that Mysterio, Jake Gyllenhaal, is from another world. That the snap from Tony Stark himself, maybe tore a hole in the universe. Now, of these scenarios, they can go in many different directions, and we will discuss. But I want to start with the first one. And the first one is, what if Mysterio is lying about everything and there is no multiverse? I know we start off on a bad note, but I want to pose this question to you guys. Is there a possibility that this guy is just full of crap? Because we know he is. He's Mysterio, but about the multiverse specifically.
Okay, I'll tackle this one. You know what? I'll let Lindsay go, because I got a lot to say about that.
Mysterio, this dude,
fishbowl head.
I know. He's written originally to be sort of like a con man, right?
He's a villain.
Yeah, he's considered super a villain. But he's playing as a good guy currently, right now. So you already know that there's going to be some massive twists going on. So I say tread super lightly around this dude, and that I can already smell the stink.
There's some stink. So stank.
I can already
stank. If you're from Kentucky, it's stank.
I don't think a trailer's ever made me want to tear up before. Can I just say that? It was a very emotionally packed trailer after coming off of Endgame. But I think he's full of all of it. But I mean, I like the concept of the multiverse, and we've been teased about it. We've been like, okay, what are they going to go from here now that they've introduced time travel and all the explanation of what that all means? So that one little nugget might be true, and then he's going to build a whole massive vision So that's going to be the foundation. And then he's going to have a whole bunch of stank piled on top of it. So
all right.
I like that.
That's where I'm going to go with
Lindsay, it. Lindsay, are, is that your final?
That's my final answer.
Is that your final answer? No, yes. I think as I'm looking over my right shoulder, I'm just seeing a giraffe on the, anyway, a squirrel. I have no idea where that came from. But Mysterio, let's talk about Mysterio for a little bit. Now, I first became aware of Mysterio in The Spectacular Spider-Man, which was one of the, you know, you got the Web of Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, The Spectacular Spider-Man. All these are different arcs and stories. But Mysterio was always one, I always saw him as kind of like a Skrull. And the reason why I say that is because Mysterio can conjure up fabrications in your mind to make you think you're delusional, seeing something that's not really there. Okay. That's his ability. And so you think about the Skrulls and how the marketing went with Captain Marvel, okay? Stay with me here. We saw the trailer when it first came out for Captain Marvel, and we all assumed, oh my God, the Skrulls are going to be the bad guys, and she's going to... You see where I'm going with this? And then we saw Captain Marvel, and we understand that Captain Marvel actually had compassion on the Skrulls because they've been in exile and trying to flee and get off the planet Kree and trying to flee all of this. And moving forward now into Spider-Man Far From Home, we are hearing rumors, oh, Mysterio's a good guy, and Mysterio's going to come in, and he's from another world and from another mission. That may be true. I think honestly that part might be true with the multiverse. Because it would make sense, it would tie in, and it would create a conduit into which Marvel can introduce the next Phase 4 characters. I think that part might be true, but the part of him being the good guy, I think he's buttering up with Fury to get the knowledge that he needs to be able to do what he needs to do to Spider-Man and just wreak havoc in the third act of the film.
Mm. I agree.
That's my prediction. I think the multiverse thing, I think that's probably true. We may get a scene there where he's just catapulted out of the multiverse during... Maybe it's one of those things when the portals open up in Endgame, we see the alternate side where they're battling. Maybe we see something on Earth and there's like multiple portals opening up.
Oh, wow.
You know, you think about it. Would you be sitting in the chair and you see that? Because the portals that opened up in Endgame in the final battle wasn't the only portals that opened up, and that wasn't the only people that got vanished. So what if cutscene, San Francisco, portal opens up over the Golden Gate Bridge and Mysterio drops out? Think about it. So I'm what my job here is to do is to get you thinking outside of the box of the possibilities, because I've been watching these movies for a long time. I know especially the Russo brothers are creative at deceiving you. And if you go back and watch the Avengers trailer, where they're walking in the Avengers headquarters getting ready to go into the time machine, Hulk's not in that. There's several characters not in that shot.
Very deceiving.
And in Infinity War, you see this one scene of all them charging into battle right at the end of Infinity War trailer, and Hulk's right in the middle. Hulk wasn't in the middle of that in the battle. They are the art of deceiving. And I think that the director of Far From Home has taken a notch out of the Russo brothers, and I think there's some deceiving there. It's very well polished, and it's the MCU. They distract us. So think about that.
I think that's a brilliant point. And we'll move on to the next point here in a second. But real quick, I think that's a brilliant point that you bring up. The fact that, if you guys don't remember, the first Avengers trailer, a long time ago when the MCU was very young, there's a scene in that trailer where the Hulk saves Iron Man. Mm. And that scene ruined a portion of the movie because when Iron Man's up in space, you're like, he's not going to die. That scene hasn't happened yet. I think Kevin Feige learned from that scene. And the deception of the new trailer, some people don't like it. They're like, oh, that shot's not in the movie. I love it. I think it is a brilliant tool, a brilliant marketing ploy, if you will. But they know people are going to watch these movies. They don't even need trailers. Guys, they don't need trailers. They are the MCU. So I think that's brilliant. And I'm right there with you guys. I think Mysterio is lying about many things. I don't even think Hydro Man and Magna Man, all of those villains, the giant creatures, I don't think they're real. I think that is an invention of Mysterio.
Oh, really?
I don't think they're real at all. I think, and that's something we'll find out in the movie. That
I agree with you 100%.
Kind of like how Syndrome in The Incredibles creates that monster so he can defeat that monster. Mysterio is creating these monsters.
That makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
Perfect sense.
That's kind of my
prediction. That's why we're doing this episode.
perfect
yeah.
sense. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So, that's like an epic con.
So I think we agreed. I think that Mysterio, there's some validity to his statement of being from Earth, another alternate Earth, 813 or something like that, was it? I think the story and how he's going to be there, I think he's going to be buttering up to the heroes to understand, maybe acquire some tech or some kind of knowledge or whatever that Furies has. And then when he gets what he wants, oh, heck breaks loose. So
infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D. is a good way to go about.
Well, it's not really S.H.I.E.L.D. There's no S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, you're right. The remnants of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The ruin, if you will.
But well, that's a great, I mean, all great ideas, guys, and that's one great scenario. But maybe him lying about the multiverse, maybe that's not the scenario. Maybe, and we're moving on to scenario two, what if we get a live-action Spider-Verse? You guys remember that movie that came out a few months ago, Into the Spider-Verse?
Oh, I think I remember that one.
I mean, that is my definitive numero uno favorite movie of last year, over Infinity War, over many other things.
It was my number two. Infinity War is my number one.
Dude, you can't go wrong with either of them. And they're so good. But the idea of a multiverse brings up the concept of a live-action Spider-Verse. And I want to point you, I pulled this up on my phone. The official account, and this may be nothing, for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I actually tweeted this the other day. They said, see you in another dimension. Now, that could be a sequel, or it could be the fact that they could possibly somehow merge these two universes. Maybe they're going to bring Tom Holland into the animated world, or maybe they're going to bring Shameik Moore, the guy who plays Miles Morales. He is my age. Maybe he plays a future Miles Morales in the MCU. Guys, the possibilities are endless.
That would be so cool to bridge that, like, transition it over.
Well, when the snap happens, and I was talking about those portals in the previous scenario.
Dude.
Okay.
If there is a hole torn in the multiverse, all of these things are possible. Like,
but
that,
why would the Into the Spider-Verse Twitter account tweet that?
Exactly.
Why would they tweet that?
And this was right when the Far From Home trailer hit.
Oh, I know. I know. This was like Avengers Endgame had just happened. We're a week and a half after that. And then we learn about the multiverse.
I think
that pretty much solidifies the multiverse is not a con.
I don't think it's a con. I think it's
legit.
It's the way that Marvel is going to bring in, Marvel Studios is going to bring in the Fox properties.
It makes perfect
sense. Here's another idea that I've heard too. We're talking Spider-Verse still on this scenario. I've heard rumors that Tobey Maguire is interested in coming back and playing.
I've heard that.
Now, who could he play, right? And Andrew Garfield has said the same thing. I'd be interested in coming back if they did. Maybe Spider-Man 3 or 4. Tom Holland traveling through different multiverses, encountering different versions of himself. Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. My body would implode.
I think honestly, that would be the greatest moment since the end of Endgame for me. I think seeing Tobey Maguire in the suit again.
Oh my gosh, do you know how much that would justify all of the complaints about redoing all of the Spider-Man origin over and over again? That would just justify and just melt all the hate off of that rainbow.
Melt all the
hate. And it would even make Spider-Man 3 better. It would make Amazing Melted. Spider-Man 2 better.
No, melting the hate.
Nothing but help Sony. Like, why wouldn't it do this? Oh,
would be so
well, I think honestly, there's so much potential. When the Russo brothers and Feige know what the heck they're doing. Let me say that first and foremost. And the vision and the trajectory that they're going to be taking this franchise is probably going to blow our minds. We thought Phase 3 was great. You guys knuckled down because Phase 4 is going to be like mind-blowing. And it's only going to get better. So
shut up, take my money. I want it all.
take
I don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah, but where's my credit card?
On it.
Here, take my credit card. Hulk smash. But anyway, I think honestly though, so oh my god, my brain is like going to explode right now with the possibilities because I'm like I'm sitting here processing all of this in real time. Yeah, I think with Into the Spider-Verse Twitter account tweeting that, it opens up the possibility of Tom Hardy coming into the MCU. It opens up the possibility of Jared Leto's Morbius, which is in production as we speak, coming into the MCU. And it's definitely a huge opportunity.
Oh, you already said
what's that?
You already said Venom, didn't you?
No, Austin did.
Okay.
Yeah. No, sure, I'm just right. Yeah. Lindsay, sorry. Stop it. Sorry. Seriously.
Hey.
So anyway, I think it's great. It would be really cool to see some kind of crazy moment. You remember that scene in Guardians of the Galaxy when they go to hyperspeed and they're jumping through the galaxies and they end up with the Watchers and Stan Lee?
Yes.
What if there's a scenario where Spidey is going through the multiverse and through the quantum realm and he ends up in New York with Tobey Maguire, and then he's like, oh crap, I'm in the wrong dimension. Then he twists something on his wrist, and then he's with Andrew Garfield. Then he twists something, and all of a sudden there's Tom Hardy and Venom.
Ugh.
It would be insane. I mean,
I could.
Take your money.
What if he like bumped into Deadpool with his little watch thing that he got from?
Dude, you know, Lindsay, you say that,
seriously,
but there is a Deadpool and Spider-Man comic,
yeah,
right now in the comic industry, and so it's like a dynamic duo of Peter Parker and Wilson. Yeah.
Because Cable gave him that watch thing, you know. So, I mean, that would make perfect sense.
It's true. Did you forget?
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
We're talking X-Men. We're talking Fantastic Four. And that is my third scenario for you guys. So let's talk about these Fox properties really quick, because the possibilities are endless. We know they're coming, but how are they going to get here? To me, the multiverse is the best way of those characters, brand new characters, except for Deadpool and all of the characters in that movie.
Mm.
That's the best way for them to come into this universe. I pose the question to you two, how in the heck are the X-Men and the Fantastic Four coming to the MCU? Is it the multiverse, or is it another way? And include Galactus and Silver Surfer, if you like, because we know they're coming.
Lens?
A portal.
A portal.
I'm going to have to defer to the experts, because I am not well-versed in the intertwining web of insanity that Marvel is beyond what I already know.
But I will say this about Badger. She has, since we did PopX 1, episode 1 together, her collective archive in her mental bank of geeky goodness has expanded in the past 3 years, girl. You are educating people in your hometown. You know, you're dropping some nerd nuggets yourself.
I can go to the comic book store and throw down, and my husband's like, what?
And that says so much awesome. I respect, your choice of
I'm just gonna pull the newbie card on that, because I don't want to say things that aren't accurate to the
I think what's gonna happen is they're working on something with the Eternals, right? So Marvel is getting ready to, they've already announced that they're doing that, and I think that's gonna be good. And then Zac Efron has been announced to play Adam Warlock in Guardians of the Galaxy
is
3.
Is that official now?
Well, I think it's in talks.
It's been talks. Been theorized.
It's not official, but now, did you see Zac Efron in the what is that new Netflix movie? The Bundy tapes.
Yes.
If you have any questions about Zac Efron as an actor in the MCU, go watch that freaking show on Netflix.
Yeah, because anytime you hear Zac Efron, you immediately think High School Musical.
Well, yeah, everybody does. What? But my God, he is insane in this show,
like,
and he
Tiger
plays
Bob.
Well, he's playing Bundy, who is a serial killer. All right, so getting back on topic, I think I have to agree with Sean first and foremost over in the chat room here. I think it's going to be more of a celestial, cosmic rendition of Marvel. We're going to go cosmic instead of just on Earth.
I'm so excited about that.
And with that, all right, let's pull back. All right, so in Thor, all right, we saw a remnants of possibility of a tease of Thanos. Remember that in the first Thor?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we saw the gauntlet, and we started hearing rumors about the stones, and, you know, let's go back to Captain America, the first Avenger. We see the Tesseract, and, you know, fast forward, Kevin Feige set that thing up like years ago, like 8 years ago. I think the next big bad, and this is just me and I could totally be wrong, I think the next big bad will be the World Crusher, Galactus.
Ooh.
I think you will, it may not be Galactus, but it's going to be somebody on the celestial eternal level. One of the Eternals. And if you don't know anything about the Eternals and Celestials, go back to the origin stories of PopX. We dove deep into that. We sure did. And there's teasing of the Eternals in the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise. You know, the guys that are wearing... There's this one scene where the Collector is talking about... They were... In the beginning, there were six stones, six apparitions, if you will. And then we see the scene of this Eternal with this big giant staff, and he puts it down, the Power Stone, and everything is wiped out. It's already teased. So I think it's going to go that direction because they set it up that way. So it's Galactus is an Eternal.
Yes.
So
that's what I'm saying. You talked about dropping nuggets. I think the perfect place to drop the nugget, since Eternals is being developed right now by Chloe Zhao, who's an incredible director, the nugget is going to be dropped in that movie. And from there on, they will do what they did with Thanos and tease and tease and tease until Galactus rains down his fire in about 7 or 8 years probably from now. But Joe, that's a great call. Galactus would be incredible to see on screen.
Well, they've teased it. And according to what we've been seeing on some of the websites too, Beta Ray Bill is going to be assuming the role of Thor from what I've been seeing. He's going to, you know, I don't know how that's going to work because Valkyrie is now...
He hasn't been confirmed either, so that's going to be theory.
Well, the character's confirmed.
They teased his statue too in Thor Ragnarok. In Thor Ragnarok, when they have the champions of... His champions on the mountain.
Beta Ray Bill's right there.
Yep. Yes.
He sure is. And so I think that's where it's going to go. I think, you know... all right, so the question was, what if... How do we get X-Men and Fantastic Four into the MCU? That was the question you had asked originally. I think they got to tease the bad first, so they're going to be dropping nuggets in the Phase 4 as they start. They may even drop one at the end scene credits of Spider-Man Far From Home. There may be something, you know, with the multiverse opened up, maybe something right at the end will come through the portal and be like, was that, oh my God, was that Surfer? Or was that Reed Richards or The Thing or whatever? Yeah. You know, so, and also.
I have an idea.
Go ahead.
Professor X has a pager.
I see what you did there.
Fury had a collection. I'm just saying.
Oh, it's all good.
I have a theory though.
Go ahead.
Well, we know that Stark Tower was sold in the last Spider-Man movie.
It was.
Stark Tower. The building theory.
Was it Norman Osborn, or was it the new Baxter Building?
Baxter Building.
Their building seems to line up more.
Well, if that's so, that means that the Fantastic Four would be in Earth 616.
Mm-hmm. Which means they wouldn't even have to come through a multiverse. They would just be a step.
They would already be there. I mean, it would be kind of weird. And I don't know if you've been seeing, but John Krasinski has been rumored. Did you see the graphic? All right, so there's a... Yeah, hold on, man. So this past week in Marvel Comics, we're not talking cinema. We're talking comic books. Oh. The new story with the Fantastic Four that just came out, War of the Realms, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. John Krasinski was drawn as Mr. Fantastic. Yeah. Now, is Marvel setting something up? Duh. So I think, you know, I would love it if it was John Krasinski. Because have you seen, what is it, 13 Hours?
13 Hours.
Dude. Jeez. Oh,
he's
stupid. And A Quiet Place. A Quiet Place. I mean, come
on. He's a director now, so he could direct this movie.
Yeah.
He could direct Fantastic Four.
He can do it.
And they did the same thing with Samuel L. Jackson for Nick Fury. Marvel started drawing literally Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. And John Krasinski, he tried out for Captain America. So he's talked to Marvel
before, multiple
times. You know they kept him in their books, and now they're like...
I think Krasinski would be a fantastic Reed Richards.
Absolutely.
I think he would be awesome. Now, who would be, since we're on this, who would be... All right, let's fill out the remainder of the Fantastic Four. Sean says Zac Efron was rumored to play the Torch.
Was rumored a while ago.
Yep. I don't know. That might be a good call.
Well, they're not going to bring Evans back?
But that's the multiverse, Lindsay.
He's no longer
That's
Cap,
the multiverse.
Though.
That's the multiverse. In another Earth on 813, Chris Evans was the Human Torch.
Well, we know the perfect person for Invisible Woman is Emily Blunt, John Krasinski's wife, because yeah. she is one of the best actresses in the business. So
and
she is
those two in the perfect. Comics are married, and they're a couple. So
let's go.
Come
perfect.
On. So
perfect.
All right. So Ben Grimm.
Oh,
who
man.
Would play? Who would play Ben Grimm?
John Cena. I mean,
he's John
if we're
Cena.
Talking size, I mean
John Cena.
He wasn't bad in Bumblebee.
No, no, he wasn't bad in Bumblebee. Who would play the thing? That's a really good question.
That is a good question.
I think, well, yeah. I'm just, is it, I don't want to be mean, but would, are you just done with The Rock? Because I kind of am done with The Rock for a while.
He's kind of a very overused brand at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
His movies are bad.
Yeah. His movies aren't good at all. It's interesting, though. You think about that. The Human Torch
John
and Ben
Cena
Grimm.
Would make a good.
Yeah, John Cena would be good. I think he would be. But I think, yeah, there's so many possibilities. I mean, come on. Anyway, moving along. Your mind, you can see what we're doing here in real time. Our mind is literally, the wheels are turning and we're trying to think about this because I think we're all just collectively really excited.
These are excited. Like the best conversations.
Oh, I know. I know.
Right,
this is where
I could go for hours.
Well, this is where PopX excels, though, Lindsay, is because when mm-hmm. we get a topic, we all know our own little nuggets from our own journeys right. in the comic world, and we bring it together and we have some. And you throw Sean Hockney in there and then Keenan and all these guys
the
over.
Chat's been on fire tonight.
The chat's lit tonight. Yeah.
Thank you guys for giving your input and kind of helping.
Yeah.
The motor run.
The motor run.
Like the oil between the gears tonight.
What
I'm
you got, Austin?
It.
Austin just had
Timothy Chalamet, Human Torch.
Who's
Let's
that?
Let's go.
Who?
Timothy Chalamet, Human Torch.
Timothy
the
Chalamet. Yeah.
Boy with Steve Carell. Call Me by Your Name. This kid is a, and he's gonna actually he's the star in the new Dune movie. This kid, man.
Oh,
he's the
that guy. Yes.
He's awesome.
Dude, and Dune is gonna be crazy cool.
That is my most anticipated movie of next year.
Dune. Have you seen the original Dune, Lindsay?
Yes, I have.
Have you? Have you seen it, Lindsay? The original one? With the sandworms and all that stuff and those things. They got these things that are in the sand to keep the sandworm. Boom. Boom. Boom.
And there's like, it's literally Game of Thrones in space. It
in
is
space.
The coolest concept for a movie. And the director of Blade Runner 2049. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. I can't wait for that.
I think I have an idea though who I think should play Dr. Doom.
Oh, that. Yes.
Do you know who it is? You know who? Michael Fassbender. And I know he played Magneto. But Chris Evans played Torch.
Oh man.
So why can't he play Michael Fassbender? Come on, dude. I mean, insane. James McAvoy. Anybody. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh,
so.
No.
Just pull him out.
Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy.
All right. So, Austin, hey. Now let's do our top threes right quick because I want to make sure that we have time for that. So, do you have another scenario? Is there another one that we wanted to cover right quick?
The last thing I wanted to pose, and this is, we've already mentioned the possibility of Morbius and Venom, that universe coming in, but I what if, my last what if, what if Sony does, because there's a minor rumor going around that they want the rights back to Spider-Man, what if Sony takes Tom Holland out of the MCU from this universe and places him in the universe with Venom and Morbius, because that is a rumor going around. Once again, just a rumor, but what do you guys think about that?
I think anything's a possibility right now. I think that
they're... All these characters belong together, and the studios just need to get over it, work together, play nice.
I think after Endgame and those stories have come to fruition, I think sky's the limit, man. I think that there's so many possibilities on what can be done with Marvel. And I mean, I would love to see Tom Hardy on the same screen as Tom Holland and Jared Leto and just all these characters from the Spider-Verse. It would be fantastic. I have no qualms against that at all.
the president of Sony, not the president, but one of the ladies right below. She's been with Sony for so long. She was actually the person that got the MCU deal greenlit in the first place. She just moved Universal. So that's one of the reasons why these rumors are going around, because they had that deal because of her, and now she's gone. So now everybody's saying, oh, Sony's going to bring him back, and this is the way to do it. Mm. Listen, Far From Home comes out and makes $1 billion at the box office, mm-hmm. put your tongue, Sony, because that's not happening if he's not in the MCU.
That's right. All I'm saying. There you go.
So, mm-hmm. But that's the final point, so we can move on to most anticipated.
Well, before we do that, Dave over in the PopX chat room here mentions a really good thing. As one of the potential big bads, Dr. Doom has a bigger brain, and he also gets his power from Odin. And that's very true. His powers come from Odin in one of the story arcs. And so, how cool, you know, Dr. Doom was a Fox franchise character that Marvel sold away a long time ago. Dr. Doom, again, could be a world crusher. I mean, you can't contain him. He's like Magneto and Thanos combined in one character.
I know there's a lot more bigger, badder characters in the universe that we have not
even Galactus would be my vote. Galactus would be like the end-all, be-all world crusher. I mean... Yeah. So
if they want to scale it down, I mean, that would be a great route to go too, because Dr. Doom, he has his own nation, like Latveria or whatever it's called. So if the Avengers were to invade that, then would they be in the wrong? That's a great conflict politically, and I think that would provide for a war level movie.
Yeah.
So I would be excited to see Dr. Doom big bad. That'd be I would really too. Cool.
Good pull there, Dave. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. All right, so we're going to give our top three movies that we are excited to see in the Phase 4 future of Marvel, as we know now that Marvel Comics, Marvel Studios Entertainment has acquired back their original characters of X-Men, Fantastic Four, and all the surrounding characters from those franchises. And with that said, with the possible Phase 4 already getting ready to be planned out as Disney launches that out the calendar last week, all the way through to 2027, Lindsay Badger, what would be your top three movies that you would be excited to see?
Top three movies. I am a uber fangirl for Guardians, so Guardians 3 is always going to be on the top of my list. James Gunn coming back into the role of back his baby. You know it's going to be over the top fantastic. We haven't been confirmed, but it's been super strongly hinted and rumored that Adam Warlock's going to show up in this one. So I'm very excited how that goes. I know we talked a little bit about that earlier, so we're not going to dive deep around that. Number two is probably Doctor Strange. Ooh. I know that a lot of people are like, oh, that's my favorite Marvel movie, but I love that franchise. I love the character. I love what he does, even though it's not like most people's top five. I really am looking forward to see where his story takes him, especially after all this has occurred. And then I'm going to leave number three open. I want them to surprise me with a new franchise that we haven't heard rumored yet.
Very good. I really good.
Want a mystery box. Surprise me. Educate me. I want to know more geeky goodness that I know is out there, and I want the world to fall in love with it. Just like Shazam. I didn't know anything about Shazam, and now I love it.
Yeah.
I want something like that.
Shazam was awesome.
It was awesome.
Well, that's a very noble choice, and you know, you actually took a page from my book, because sometimes when I do a top three, I leave my third one open for the possibilities, and so I think it's very...
I almost said Celestials, but I was just like, you know what? I'm pretty sure that's going to be amazing, and we're getting a lot of galactical goodness out there.
Right.
I wanted something else. Surprise me with something new that we're not expecting.
Well, I'm going to let...
Which I know they're really...
I want to let the man who came up with this show topic go last and have his final say. But for me, I'm personally excited. You know, we've seen X-Men, but as Marvel reboots that franchise to some extent, what if we just get a traditional title, The Uncanny X-Men? And I think that would be great.
I think,
you know, going back to the original roots, I think that would be, you know, let's go back to the 60s when the X-Men... You know, we're at the core, or we can do the 90s version of X-Men when Jim Lee took over and did all those really great story arcs, you know, think that would be good. I mean, I would love to see like Sentinels like battling it out with Wolverine, and that would be fantastic. The second one here for me would be the Silver Surfer. And I think the Silver Surfer, that movie, like Doctor Strange introduced us to Dormammu and the Ancient One and, you know, all of that stuff. I think the Silver Surfer could also introduce us and maybe bring in Galactus as well. So we would get his origin story on his home world and how he became the chosen one for Galactus to go out and seek the worlds. And it would be a wonderful tie into the Fantastic Four. And that will lead me up to my third one, which I'm hopeful for, is that we get him into a Secret Wars invasion. Now, we know that the Kree is part of the Secret Wars. And so the Skrulls, rather. The Skrulls were obviously in Captain Marvel. And if you caught... From everyone at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Please make sure to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/PopXCast, and click the follow button to get our live stream notifications. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Be sure to check out this and more great content on the Gonna Geek Network at GonnaGeek.com. Get your geek on!